Let us pray. Father, as we now come to this time of worship to hear from your holy word, we pray that you would help us to have ears to hear your word this morning, Father. Pierce our hearts with the word of God and convict us of sin and remind us of the pardon that we have in the Lord Jesus, Father. Lord, we pray that your word that you spoke forth long ago by your Spirit that was written by the hands of men, Lord, we pray that you would now by your Spirit give us understanding to the truth of your word at this time. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. If you take your copy of God's Word and turn with me, we're going to be in John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. And this morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at the last half of this chapter. Last week we began, and we've been looking at, since chapter 7, Jesus has been at the feast in Jerusalem of Tabernacles. And last week we saw where Jesus showed compassion and mercy to the woman brought forth from that was caught in adultery by the Pharisees and the scribes and brought her before the Lord Jesus. Then we saw Jesus in the temple proclaiming that he is the light of the world. And we also saw where he revealed that he is the only hope for sinners. He told and warned those listening to him that day, unless you believe in him, in Jesus, the light of the world, the Savior come from the Father, you will die in your sins. These were remarkable words that the Lord Jesus was speaking during this day. And in chapter 8, verse 30, we ended last week, and it says this, "And he spoke these things, and many came to believe in him." And I left last Sunday morning with sort of a warning, saying that we have to be careful to take these words to mean that they had ultimately true faith in the Lord Jesus, because there are some, so far in the Gospel of John, on two different occasions, where those who had professed faith ultimately would walk away, not having true belief in the Lord Jesus. There's one pastor I was reading this week, and he talked about there's a difference in professing faith and actually having a possession of faith. Actually, truly being born again by the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus, rather than just speaking forth with your mouth. And we're going to see in our passage this morning, in chapter 8, verses 31 through 59, we're going to see that Jesus understands this completely. That those who claim to believe in him, Jesus is going to warn them and say, if you are truly my disciples, then your lives must look like this. There's a test that Jesus will give, if you will, for those who are listening that day, and it is relevant for us today. If you want to know whether you are a true believer in the Lord this morning, this passage is speaking directly to us and to our hearts to test whether or not we are truly Jesus' followers and disciples. So I'm going to ask if you would stand with me as we read John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my words have no place in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You were doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You were of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks is a lie. He speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth to you, you do not believe me? Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. The Jews answered him and said, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets who died too, whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Lord, we ask now that you would give us clarity of thought and of mind to understand the truth of this passage, to reveal to us more and more the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help us to see whether or not we are truly your followers and disciples this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just reading through this passage, you can feel the tension that's here between Jesus and the Jews. This is tension that I talked about that's been building and building and building and will continue to build until ultimately it climaxes at the cross where Jesus is arrested and put upon the cross to die. But there is a lot of tension here in this moment when Jesus is teaching those who claim to believe in him. Jesus is going to tell them, if you are truly my disciples, then there are certain things that has to happen. The first thing is that if you are truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then you have to be set free by the Son of God. Jesus says this in verses 31 through 38. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and I will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus looks at those who he's already been talking to, who claim to believe, and said, okay, if you're true believers, then what you're going to have to do is continue in my words. Keep my words. Hear them. Obey them. Believe them, and you are truly my disciples. And as you do that, as you persevere in the faith, as you persevere in me and in my word, you will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. This idea of truth here in this passage that we'll continue to see throughout the Gospel of John is vital and is important. Because these Jews here think they know the truth. They think they're living by the truth. And Jesus is going to pull the rug out from under them and show them in all reality They're more like their father, the devil, who is a liar. And they're believing lies and not the truth because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they do not continue in the Lord Jesus. They do not know the truth. Next week at VBS, that's the theme of the week, is building a life upon the truth of God's Word. And each night, as we teach the kids from the different scriptures and the different stories, we're going to show them that the world tells them one thing. The world speaks about having your own truth and believing whatever you want to, but God's Word reveals truth because God Himself is true and He's revealed Himself to us through His Word, and that's what they're to build their life upon. They are going to learn the importance of knowing the truth because only the truth, as Jesus says, can set them free. And so Jesus is telling them here in this passage, in this moment, He's helping them to see that they need to know the truth. They need to know that they need to be set free. Verse 33, they answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" This is not exactly true, what they say, because as Abraham's descendants, they would know that the history of their people, the Israelites, were at one time enslaved to the Egyptians for 400 years. But this generation is saying, we're not enslaved. Why are you using this language of slavery, Jesus? What do you mean by this? We are Abraham's descendants. We have rights and privileges. Well, Jesus is going to help them understand, verse 34. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is a verse that all people everywhere needs to understand in verse 34, that whoever commits a sin is enslaved to that sin. And this is our greatest need in the world. This is our greatest problem in the world, is that all people, all humanity are enslaved and in bondage because of our sin. Listen, we talk about living in a free country, and praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for the rights and privileges that we have. But there are millions of people in this country that proclaim freedom politically who are enslaved every single day and moment of their life because of their sin, because they have yet to be born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus is talking about a slavery that you cannot get out of yourself. He is talking about a bondage that there is nothing that you do, no matter how good of a person you are, that you can set yourself free from. This is a bondage that destroys us ultimately, because the wages of sin is death. This is our greatest need in the world today, is to figure out how we can be set free from sin. And yet, we don't have to figure it out, because the Lord Jesus proclaims that He's come to set the captive free. He's come to set us free of our bondage and our chains, of slavery, of addiction, of whatever you're struggling with, because when He sets you free because of who He is and what He's done, you are free indeed. We could spend a very long time thinking about enslavement of our affections and our desires and our souls, but that's what the slavery of sin means. It doesn't just mean, I was sharing with our youth Sunday school this morning, the actions that we do. It's not just the anger that comes out. It's not just murders that happen. It's not just addictions that happen. There's a root cause of all of that. And that's the sin that we all have in our hearts. It's because our affections, our desires, our minds, everything about us has been depraved because of sin. And we cannot set ourselves free. We talk about free will often. People talk about free will. And in reality, we like to think, because of our, again, privileges in this Western world, that we have the absolute capacity to choose good or evil. But no one is morally neutral. We can only do by nature what we are. So, by nature, we are dead in sin. By nature, we are enslaved to sin, which means we can only sin. unless we are set free from our bondage. Jesus is saying this is the plight of man. This is the need of humanity. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. So unless you've been set free by the Son, your entire life is going to be one of bondage and enslavement. But Jesus has come to proclaim that he's come to set us free. How? Through his life, his work on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father. He has come to do what we could never do. And in doing that, setting us free from the enslavement of sin. That is why Paul later would write in the book of Romans that we are not to continue to be mastered by sin. He says this in Romans 6, 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one of whom you obey, either sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. What's Paul saying? He's telling the Romans there to check their hearts and their lives and saying, what does your life look like? What are you doing? What are you believing? What is your heart doing and saying and believing? Because the more you sin, the more you have to question, have you truly been set free? Are you a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness? And believers who have been set free by the Son, yes, we struggle with sin, but ultimately we are no longer in bondage. That's no longer who we are. We are new creations in Christ, new creatures because of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is proclaiming this to these believers, to these Jews here, that the Son can make them free. Well, as we're going to see, they don't fully understand this. Verse 37, Jesus says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak these things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. Jesus is saying, the reason that you will continue to be in bondage, the reason you will continue to be enslaved into sin is because ultimately you do not believe my word. You do not believe who I am. You do not trust in me. Jesus does acknowledge in verse 37 their heritage. This is one thing that these Jews were very proud of. We're Abraham's descendants. Father Abraham, the one that God made the covenant promise to that came and told him that he would give him descendants from every nation, as many as the stars of the sky. He is our descendant. He is our heir. He is our father. How can you stand there and say these things, these audacious things to us and say that we're enslaved? How can you speak of this? This is a theme that we've seen already in John, but it's worth mentioning again that our heritage, no matter how great it is, does not save us. They thought that they could have a seat in the kingdom of God because they were children of Abraham. And there are people in the world today that think because of their grandparents, their parents, their brothers and sisters, their great family heritage of Christians, that they are entitled to the kingdom of God. And that's not the case. Your grandmother could have been a wonderful Sunday school teacher. Your grandfather could have been a wonderful deacon. Your parents could have served the church for many years. And yet, if you have not confessed the Lord Jesus and believed in him and trusted in him and have been set free from the enslavement of sin, then you are in bondage and in need of the Savior this morning. Doesn't matter how great your family line has been. I heard a story a couple of weeks ago from a pastor. He said he was in South Africa and he was in the airport. And he met a woman. He said that he was going to try to have a gospel conversation with this woman and to be able to evangelize to her. And he said he could smell from her breath that she had been heavily drinking and it was already early in the morning. And he began to talk to her. And he said, I live in Uganda. He's really a pastor and a missionary. He says, I live in Uganda. And she said, why would you live in Uganda? And he said, because I'm a missionary. I'm there to proclaim the good news of Jesus to people there in Uganda. She said, oh, my grandparents were missionaries here in South Africa. So this is just a generation before her. She said, my grandparents were missionaries. That's why I'm here. That's why I've stayed in South Africa. And then she said this, it's funny, I didn't even think there were missionaries any longer. What's the point? So this pastor, this missionary, said, I began to share the gospel with her and telling her the good news of Christ, of what he has come to do for her. And she said this, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. This is the granddaughter of missionaries that were there in South Africa. And she says, I've never heard the gospel before. And she got up, she got on the plane. And that's the conversation. That's it. Just because your family have been God-fearing people does not give you a right and a privilege to the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be set free from the slavery of sin by the Son. And only the Son can do that. Second, we see that true disciples are those who have God as their Father. We see this beginning in verse 39. They answered to Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. That's why we read these passages earlier in our scripture reading time, to help us to see the faith and the obedience of Abraham. There was many other times in the life of Abraham where we could see his faith growing and his obedience to the Lord. But ultimately, Jesus is saying, if you're true descendants of your father Abraham, then you must obey God, have faith in him, trust him, and live for him. He says in verse 40, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me. A man who told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. So Jesus is looking at the crowds and he says, listen, you want to claim Abraham as your father, that's fine, but Abraham believed the truth. He believed God. He believed what God spoke forth. You don't do that. You're not listening. You're not believing. You're not doing what your father did. He says, verse 41, but you are doing the deeds of your father. And in just a moment, he's going to reveal who he is speaking of. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Now, what they're doing is trying to take a stab at Jesus. We know, because of the scriptures, the beautiful story that God prophesied through Isaiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus through the Virgin Mary. But for those who do not have faith to see the beauty of the virgin birth and incarnation, some could be skeptical and say, Jesus' mom and dad, it seems a little iffy. We're not really sure what's happening there. And so they are in some ways saying, well, we at least know where our heritage is from. We weren't born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Jesus says, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. That's a good test for the world today that proclaims that they are followers of God. If you are a follower and a believer of the one true living God, you would love Jesus. Jesus says, for I proceeded forth from him and have come from God. For I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. So if you want to be right with a holy God, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. This is why the thought that everybody, there's many paths to heaven, doesn't work. Many religions get you to God. It doesn't work. Jesus is the only way to the Father. So Jesus says in verse 43, why do you not understand what I am saying? That's a good question. These people right here, if anybody should have had eyes to see the fulfillment of all these prophecies in these scriptures, it would be these people right here. And he says, why do you not understand? It's not because Jesus doesn't know. He gives us the answer why they don't understand. It's because, verse 43, because you cannot hear my word. It's not that they're not listening. He's saying, you cannot. You are incapable of hearing. When I prayed a while ago, I pray this often because I believe it. Lord, give us ears to hear your word. Because there are some, this may be true of you, you have heard hundreds of sermons in your life with your physical ears, but it's never connected to your heart. You know the truths mentally, intellectually, but you don't believe them with your heart. Why? Because you cannot hear, because you're still enslaved in your sin, is what Jesus is saying. You don't have the capacity and the ability to understand and believe his word. Why? Verse 44, because you are of your father, the devil. That would have stopped them in their tracks right then. They're proclaiming, Abraham's our father, God's our father. And Jesus says, not in reality. Your father is the devil. And who is the devil? He tells us what the devil does and why they are lining up with their father, the devil. Because you want to do the desires, verse 44, of your father. What are these desires? There's two. One, he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer and a liar. And Jesus is looking at the crowd that day and saying, if you are outside of God, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you too resemble your father, Satan, who is a murderer and a liar. This is true for all people. This is the split of mankind. Either you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, or you're a follower of the devil. Mankind is not split up into Republicans and Democrats. I've said that before. Mankind is not split up into Yankees and Southerners, as much as we want that to be true. Mankind is split up in those who follow after God and those who follow after the devil. And Jesus is looking at these people that day and says, it doesn't matter your family heritage. It doesn't matter whose descendants you are. You are looking like and acting like your father, Satan, who's a murderer. He's a liar. Why? Because that's their actions. That's their beliefs. That's what their lives reflect and look like. They look like their father. There have been so many people that have debated since Ren has been born whether she looks like me or looks like Stacy. Right now, I'm winning with that percentage that she looks like me. And as she continues to grow, she will continue to look like us and act like us because she's our child. That's a good litmus test for being children of either Satan or God. Who do you look like? What do you believe? What are your actions? What does your life reflect? And Jesus is saying your life truly does reflect the Father. Satan, your father, Satan, because why would he even bring up that they're a murderer, that he was a murderer and a liar? Because remember, so far in this passage, several times, these people have wanted to seize Jesus, arrest him, and kill him, and put him to death. Even at the end of this chapter, we read it a while ago, we'll get to that point in just a moment. They want to kill Jesus, and Jesus says, only murderers reflect their father, the devil. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And if you are outside of Christ, this is who you are following in this world. Verse 45, Jesus tells us, but because I speak the truth to you, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? So he says, you're convicting me of sin. You're calling me a liar. You're calling me a sinner. And Jesus says, how can you convict me of sin? We know that Jesus is perfect. He is sinless. And he says in verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God. And for this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Jesus looks at the crowd. He looks at these who have claimed to believe in him. And he says, in reality, you don't really hear the words of God. Why? Because you are not of God. You are not children of God. That is one misconception that has entered into the church in the last 100 or 150 years with the rise of liberalism, not politically but theologically, is the idea that God is the Father of all people and all people are His children. In all reality, that is not the case. Only those who are in Christ, who have been born again, who have faith in the Lord Jesus, are children of God. Just a couple of verses. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. I'll begin in verse 10. He was in the world, this is Christ, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. So not all people, But those who believed, he gave the right to be adopted into the family of God as children. And this is how, verse 13, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Galatians chapter 4 tells us this as well. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. And listen, he says this, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave to sin and to Satan, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So, not all people are children of God. All have been created by God, but only those who have faith in the Lord Jesus are children. And Jesus is saying this. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. So true disciples are children of God. And then he continues, and he tells us that true disciples keep the word of God. Look at verse 48. True disciples keep the word of God. The Jews answered and said to him, Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They're just looking for reasons to poke at Jesus, to dishonor Jesus. And Jesus says that in verse 49. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Which Jesus is saying, when you dishonor me, you dishonor the Father. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. In order to keep the word, you have to hear the word spiritually. You have to be able to have the capacity, as Jesus has already said, that these people do not have, in order to keep it, to obey it, to believe it, to live it out, to be transformed by the word of Christ, you have to have the capacity to hear it. You have to be set free. You have to be a child of God. And then he says, you must keep my word. Why is Jesus saying this, that if you keep my word, you will never see death? Go back to verse 31 for just a moment. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Let me say this as clearly as I can. I believe totally that God is sovereign in salvation, to save and to redeem and to keep and to hold us, absolutely. But God does call us to persevere in the faith. He enables us by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, but we are called to persevere and to continue and to push forth and to run the race with endurance that's been set before us. We do so in the power of the Spirit and the work of God in our hearts. But Jesus is giving a warning here. If you give up in the Christian life, then you are not truly my disciples. If you stop running the race, if you stop keeping my word, if you stop believing in me, if you give up on me, then you prove yourself not to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. Those that God sets his seal on, those that God saves, he will keep saved till the end. True believers will persevere till the end, till they make it to glory or Christ returns. But there will be many, like these in this passage, that claim to believe, that ultimately fall away because they stop keeping the word of God. And they will taste death, is what Jesus says. Spiritual death, hell, damnation, judgment, wrath, because they do not keep the word of Christ and believe in him. These are heavy words that Jesus is proclaiming to them this day and to us today. This is the reality. This is the great need of us today to be set free and to know him and to keep his word. So he says, if you keep my word, you will never taste death. Verse 52, the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets who died too, whom do you make yourself out to be? They're looking at Jesus and saying, well, they died, those before, those who came before us. And again, they're not understanding the spiritual death. They're not understanding the spiritual reality that Jesus is presenting to them. And they say, who do you make yourself out to be? It's just like last week in the passage when they looked at Jesus and said, who are you? Who are you? These are things they've never heard before. This is a person they've never experienced with the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is wrecking all that they've ever known by coming and proclaiming these truths of who he is. Jesus says, verse 54, if I glorified myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. He tells the crowd, you don't really know the Father, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I know him. Why? Because Jesus says, I keep his word. He is my Father. I'm the true Son, and you can be children of the Father as well if you keep my word. Believe, trust, understand, apply, be changed by the word of God, proving yourself to be a true disciple. The last aspect of being a true disciple is one who believes in the Son of God. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So Jesus is telling these listeners, these false believers here, you speak highly of Abraham. Well, let me tell you something else. Abraham looked ahead, and he saw my day, and he rejoiced, and he was glad. What does that mean? Abraham did not fully have an understanding of Christ like we do. He did not have the rest of the scriptures as we do, but he did have promises that God made. He did have an understanding that a Messiah would come. One would come forth from the woman to come and crush the head of the serpent. One would come from Abraham himself to come and redeem people. He didn't fully understand all of it, but he looked ahead in faith and he rejoiced that God who made promises would keep them. And Jesus says this. So the Jews say this, verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And then here's the big ticket item that's going to upset them. Verse 58, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus could have said, before Abraham was born, I was, but he didn't. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. Using the same language that God used in Genesis chapter 3 when Moses was there at the burning bush and said to God, who should I tell the Israelites has sent me? And God looked and spoke to him and said, tell them I am who I am has sent you. The same language that Jesus is saying here. Jesus looks at those people that day in the temple and says, before Abraham was born, I am declaring that he is divine. He is God in the flesh right before them. Go back to verse 24. We saw this last week. Therefore, Jesus is talking, I said to you that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am and you will die in your sins. The same language. Unless you believe that I am. He's already revealed this when he was walking on the water in chapter 6 when Jesus looked out, the disciples looked out and Jesus was walking and he told them not to be afraid, for I am is with you, the one true and living God. And so Jesus is opening their eyes and helping them to see that you say you believe in God. Open your eyes because he's standing right before you today in the temple. He is God, and you must believe in the Lord Jesus to be set free, to be his disciple, to be a child of God, to keep his word. And look how they respond in verse 59. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They are proving that they are not truly believers of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to put him to death. They wanted to kill him for speaking these blasphemies that they believe were true. But they are the ones that misunderstood. There may be some today here with us this morning that are just like these Jews here. Claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus, but in all reality, you're not. You're following after Satan. You're following after the flesh. You're enslaved to your sin. And you don't want to hear what Jesus has to say, because Jesus doesn't just save us and get us a ticket to heaven. He transforms us and changes us and changes our beliefs and changes our values and gives us new life. And there are some people that just do not want that from Jesus. They want Jesus to make them feel good about themselves, but Jesus isn't about making us feel good. Jesus is about making us holy and blameless. That's why he died, to set us free. So if you are here this morning and you are still enslaved, here's the answer. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in the one who can save your soul. He is the only way. He's the only way that you can have true life and be a true follower of the Lord. If you are a believer, this passage is for you too. I hope you've seen that as we've walked through this morning. This passage should encourage you to continue in the Word of Christ, to continue to believe and to study and to know God through His Word. This passage should help you to remember that you've been set free from the bondage of sin and slavery, and you are to live for God's glory. This passage is to remind you that you are a child of God in a fallen world, to represent God to this lost and dying world. And this passage is called, it should call us to believe in Christ, who's the great I Am, who's come to save us. A divine rescue mission from heaven in order to make us right with a holy God. And so, as we conclude this morning, let us thank God, who sent the Savior to the world to set us free from our sins, to make us children of the Most High God, and who has given us His Word to keep and to be transformed by. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your word this morning. Grateful for the truth of your word and the truth of this passage. Lord, we thank you for the Son that you sent so long ago to live and to die and to be resurrected, to set us free from the bondage of sin. Father, if there's anyone here who is enslaved in sin as an unbeliever, Lord, set them free. Save them by the power of your Spirit this morning, we pray. Lord, for the believer that is caught up in sin this morning, in temptation, in the struggles, Father, help them to confess, repent, remember who they are as a true believer in you, Father. Help this congregation and this church be full of true believers that represent you well in this world, Father. And help us to never stop giving thanks to the Lord Jesus, who's made us right with you. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and respond by singing the hymn, How Firm a Foundation.